Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to have you be with me for this 29th day, the last day of, recording for May 2022. It really is going fast. Well, we're going to look at what it means to find ourselves, find the truth of ourselves. And that truth is always about love. That truth is always about the goodness of our nature, but we tend to forget it. We tend to look at ourselves with, a very negative point of view. And the process that we go through is usually to paint a picture of ourselves in our mind and think that whatever that picture is, however we look at it, that's the way it is. And I want to explore a little bit further with you what it means to really have a meaningful relationship with the sense of love that you are. I want to say this right off the bat before we get started. If you do not see the meaning of yourself upon the face of your own life, you will never ever be able to recognize the meaning and the value of what it is to find yourself, to find what you are, not just who you are. Now, the who of us is proposed. It's an assumption. It is something you are taught. It is something that we tend to learn as we move along in our daily living when we're kids. We're little kids. We find out who likes us, who doesn't like us, what mommy and daddy will do for us, what they won't do. And this, believe it or not, starts forming a persona, a personality about us. And then from there, we start developing this persona that we believe is who we are, which is not true, but we like to believe that. So nevertheless, when people start to get a little anxious about their life, when they get a little bit, uncomfortable with themselves, they usually go to drugs or alcohol or some obsession and compulsion. And then there are those who go to maybe some personality-altering kind of lifestyle or teacher, and like Tony Robbins and people like that, and they think that will make them happy. But what they don't see is that no matter how happy you get, all of this collapses eventually because you're going to die. And the whole idea is to go off the cliff of death and not know what you're doing. Everything just turns to black and nothing I did in this lifetime, you know, truly matters. I think I got away with it, but we don't. We really don't. So the object of the game here, if there were one, is for you and me to hear and listen to what is going on within us and begin to discover the difference between who I think I am and exactly what I am. Now, this what is very nebulous to people. So what I'm offering to you here is the difference between who I am in my own assessment, my own assumption, my own judgment, as compared to what I am. And I get emails on this. They don't talk like I do on the subject, but allow me. The first one comes from Terry in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he says, I need to find myself. How? ? And that's all he wrote. I thought that was an excellent way of introducing this subject. If you, Terry, look at the idea of just a self, just looking at the self of you, you will see a conglomeration, a collage, as it were, of genetic disposition. You and I in our body are made up of chemicals, bone, blood, and those chemicals start to actuate themselves through our behavior, our beliefs, our attitudes, and they become essential to how we act and interact with our life in this world. And we basically are talking to the ego when we're doing all of this and developing an ego in all of this. And in that arrogance and that ego that we develop, we tend to have this attitude, this mentality that we are either good people or not so good people, that we're either going to be happy or we're not going to be happy, one of those two things. We go off on ourselves, as I like to call it. So with all that being said and going off on ourselves, we come to the assumption that we are this person we believe ourselves to be based on the ideals of whatever it is that our genetic nature is showing us. Now, okay, you can live like that, and 99 and 9 tenths of the people I know live that way. But then there is that 1/10 of the people I know, there are very few, who do not live from their persona, from the chemicals. They're not living from judgment, from assumption, from the human to the human. They are individuals who are living from the state of their own being. And that is an unusual person. That is a very unusual person. They find out what they are. And if you want to find out what you are, you're going to have to make it a lifestyle. It is more than a journey. It is a lifestyle. You can't bring your human, your Terry, into this whole experience and go off on it and think, okay, Terry, here's what we're going to find out. You have to literally find out what would it be like not to bring Terry into your life. What would that be like? What would be there if Terry weren't? If Terry were gone or put aside, we'll say, what would be there? You would say normally, well, then I wouldn't be there and there'd be nothing there and I'd be dead and all that other assumptive stuff. That isn't true. I can tell you that from personal experience. That is simply not true. So what I have to do, what you have to do, if you're sincere about your question, is you have to find out what to do, how to do it. What is the way within you? Now, if you're interested in that way, if you're interested in finding out what that way is, you're going to enter into a livingness that is totally different. You will be discovering yourself. Now, the problem is the ego has been proportioned and positioned inside of us, postured, as it were, to judge whatever it is we discover. And if I live in that judgment, if I live in the crudity of that judgment, I will never grow and mature because I will be so busy judging what I see, how I see it, the way I see it from my ego that I will never know the what. So it's a tricky affair. You have to be willing to give up your own audience, your own ego, your pride, your vanity, the emotionality, the emperor of all malice is what I call the emotions. And they are terrible things that we do terrible things into our life and bring into our life because we like to please and pleasure this emperor. But it's not a good thing. But, you know, who can talk you out of it? Certainly not me. So I'm going to end with this, Terry, by saying just this to you. Lhotse, who I deeply respect, who was the author of the Tao Te Ching, said it best. Until you are sick of your own sickness, you won't do anything with your life. You have to be sick of your sickness. I don't know you. I don't know if this applies to you. I mean, are you sick of yourself? Are you tired of the way you're living? Are you tired of the person you've become? Have you worn out? If you've worn out, then you're in a great position to do something magnificent with your life. So that's the best I can say to you on that subject. You're going to need a teacher. You can't do this alone. And if you think you can, you're sorely mistaken. And you will never, ever find the real way. Even Buddha said you must find a teacher, somebody who has been through this. So I can help you. I have been through it. But you're likely not to choose me. And it's likely that your question isn't really sincere. It's probably born out of deep frustration, but there you are. You're going to have to work on yourself. We'll see. Maybe one day you'll write me and say, hey, I'm ready. And then I'm still alive. I'll help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. This is from Frank in San Francisco, my favorite city. He asks, what is the goodness that you see in people? And this comes out of a radio program I did on finding the goodness in people. Frank, I don't make up stories about people. I know that in the finest person I know is also the worst person I could find. I understand that because I know that about myself. So I get it. I truly understand. When I am talking to people or I'm working with them, I work with them at many different levels simultaneous. And sometimes I'm very deliberate about how I reveal a person to themselves. What I try to do with human beings that I work with is realize that the goodness of their nature and to try to show them how they are betraying that goodness in their life, in their livelihood, in their life, in the way they live. And then ask them if they're willing to make a change. So if I talk to people like at hospice or wherever I am when I'm working, even when I'm not, I look for the place in them that isn't greedy, that isn't selfish, that isn't prideful, that isn't fearful. I look for that loving place inside them where there is a sense of goodness. And that goodness for me comes in mercy. I look for the merciful part of them. And I can always find it somewhere deep within them, the mercy that lives within them. They want mercy. So I go by the adage, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be given mercy. That's from Jesus in the Beatitudes. And I give it to them. I don't tell them it's from Jesus because there's a lot of prejudice about all of that in this world right now. So I just don't go there. What I try to do with people is show them, you want mercy. You want forgiveness for all the cruddy things you may have done in the form of your own life, then be merciful to other people. And that's where I begin. That's where I begin to help people in counseling and in the therapy, shall we say, of meditation and true inner work, not this phony stuff that people like. So if you're of that ilk, you can do this work. But you're going to have to want mercy for everyone. You're going to have to want to show mercy to everyone, not just your friends, your family, but mercy with those who, shall we say, are your enemy. And everybody at one time or another realizes they have enemies. So with all that being said, it's a matter of wanting to love them more than wanting to hate them. That's really what it about comes down to. Do I want to love you or do I want to hate you? And people say, well, I don't really hate him or her. I just don't like them. Well, there are a lot of people we don't like, but that dislike is just a camouflage for our hatred. So you have to love them, forgive them. They know not what they do. And you and I, dear one, are a part of that know not what we do. And that's the key. I got to get out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question and your kind comment on the side. I appreciated it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Be back on the air next week. Hope you'll join me. Thanks for listening. And again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.